Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in 1 Corinthians as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Here's Senior Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
The word defiled means to pollute, to stain, to contaminate. The defilement did not come through the meat. Remember, he'd already laid the principle there was nothing wrong with that meat. So the defilement didn't come through eating the meat. For eating the meat offered an owl could not defile. As a matter of fact, I have let me read this real quick. I have it marked. Jesus spoke to this. Mark chapter 7, verse number 14. And when he called, speaking of Jesus, called all the people unto him, he said, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man." Are you? Okay. "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him that can defile him." This is Jesus speaking. Nothing without can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. He said to them, "Are you without understanding also? Do you perceive? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without enters the man, it cannot defile him? Even meat from an idol, it cannot defile you. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and it goeth out into the draught, purging all the meats." And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that's what defiles the man," all which goes in. "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So you see the principle. Paul's just reiterating that about it's not the meat that defiles, because Jesus said nothing that from without defiles a man. It's what's within that contaminates the man. Okay. And because of his conscience, he feels guilty. You ever heard of a guilty conscience? He could not eat that meat, this weak believer, without having a guilty conscience. Is it good to have a guilty conscience? Yes. Amen. That's the purpose of our conscience. But they were overworking that conscience. They were overthinking that, and they were not informed properly, because Jesus spoke earlier, that which enters a man cannot defile a man. It's what's within and which proceedeth out of a man. Verse number 8, Paul explains it a little bit better. "But meat commendeth us not to God." In other words, let me finish that verse. "For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse." It's kind of a self-explanatory verse here. The eating or the not eating does not affect our standing with Christ. You get the point. That's what he's trying to say. Whether you eat it or you don't eat it, it does not affect your standing with Christ. It does not make us any more spiritual because we eat it, or does it make it any less spiritual because we don't eat it either, or vice versa. He's trying to lay that foundation here. And then he says, here's the word, verse number 9. What's that first word? When you see that word, that changes everything. But he's already laid, there's nothing wrong with the meat. It's okay. As a matter of fact, it doesn't make you any better. It doesn't make you any worse. But here's where love conquers this thing about knowledge. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. That's what's really important. Not that you have the liberty and the freedom to eat this meat. What's really more important, that you don't cause that weaker brother to stumble. It's interesting. The word liberty means freedom. We do have freedom in Christ. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and you're free indeed." Now, this does not give us a license to sin. A lot of people will take that verse out of context. So, well, if we have liberty, we do what we want to. No, you have liberty from sin, not to sin. You have liberty from sin. That's a whole other message. Did you get that? It's pretty good. We have liberty now to please Christ with our life, freedom. We're not free to sin. We're free from sin. That's that liberty that we have. Okay. The word stumbling block, it's an obstacle in the way which if one strikes his foot against, he stumbles or he falls. And it applies to those that are weak, he's talking about, that do not use your liberty as an occasion to allow that weak brother to stumble, to fall. Paul uses that same word in Romans chapter, and I want to share this with you. Romans chapter 14, Greg, maybe you can find it. Romans chapter 14, verse number 13. He uses that same word. I should have marked these in my Bible. Okay. Yeah. Let's begin verse number 12, Greg. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I love that. Am I my brother's keeper? Interesting statement. But you know, every one of us, I'm going to give an account for Walt Lanier, not Danny Jones. Danny Jones, I'm giving an account for Danny Jones, not Walt Lanier. That's what Paul is saying here, okay? Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So we see in Romans chapter number 14, that same word is being used, the same thought, that we shouldn't put anything in our brother or sister's way that would cause them to stumble and fall. Talking about with their walk with the Lord. That would, and let me put it in practical terms, that would keep them from going to Westwood Missionary Baptist Church. Them hypocrites down there. Are you following? Or their walk with the Lord, they quit going. Listen, I know what those people are like. I know what they think. Don't cause them weaker people to stumble. Okay. There are many things which a believer could do which would not hurt them as individuals. Now, I'm not getting to a list because I'd get in trouble, okay? But there are some things that we have liberty to do in Christ as an individual. Now, don't get your start in mind getting racing. If it's preached against in the Bible, that's a sin. It's a sin. But there are some things that we're free. Are y'all already thinking, ain't you, okay? I'm just laying down the fact, okay? There are many things, and Paul talked about that, with the meat is one example of that. There are many things which believers could do which would not hurt them as individuals, but which might prove harmful to others. What really matters is love over knowledge, placing yourself and your rights over others. You should place them first. How will it affect the church? How will it affect my brothers and sisters in Christ, the weaker? I know, I'm going to put this out here. I'm just going to put it out there. Take it for what it's worth. I have some dear friends that pastors churches up north. I won't go any farther than that. They're dear friends. When they observe Lord's Supper, they use real wine, actual real wine, okay? We don't use wine when we observe Lord's Supper. We use the fruit of the vine, grape juice. I believe that's what Jesus used. That's just, I believe, what Scripture teaches, okay? That we use the fruit of the vine. There's some more. I won't go into that. That's a whole nother lesson. But I, without discussing any names, we had a discussion with him about this here just a few months ago. A good friend, and they use real wine in there. I said, here's another problem, not because it's just, I think it's not biblically correct to use real wine, but you should use fruit of vine, grape juice, which we do. Matter of fact, when we observe the Lord's Supper, we're going to do it, Lord willing, the night of faith promise, the 26th, that Sunday. I'm planning on having Lord's Supper that Sunday night. We've had mission conference all week long. We'll have a special preacher Sunday morning, and Sunday night we're going to do Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper, that wine will be grape juice. It's going to be 100% grape juice. Won't be no sugar in it. Won't be, you know, watered down. Anyway, that's okay. I told that pastor, dear friend. I said, here's another problem. Say somebody in your church used to be an alcoholic, and they get a taste of that wine, that's going to, it could flip a switch. I said, you're on dangerous territory. But it is true. Again, you talk about a weaker brother. There are some things that, the priest said I could buy a bottle of wine. I did not say that.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And come visit us this Sunday night to hear Wyatt Austin of the Inspirations, along with the Rogers family, at 6 p.m. at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. That's February 9th at 6 p.m. to hear Wyatt Austin of the Inspirations and the Rogers family at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We hope to see you there. Well, from now, until tomorrow, May God bless you richly, is our prayer.